Well, good morning, everyone, and this is Robin Blank Mascari, and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom for Friday, September 16th. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day, whether you're listening live or to the recorded call, to be with us this morning or whenever that is during your day. So a few minutes on why Gregory and I created these calls. It was our way of paying back, or actually really paying forward, for the amazing people we have been blessed to meet and the wisdom we have been exposed to really over the years and the decades. Our intention with these Friday calls is to provide 30 minutes of wisdom, is to create a safe place where people from all professions, backgrounds, companies can come together, create community, and learn from some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and what we like to call enlightened beings in the world today. So this morning, Gregory is in an airport, and he's with us, and he gets to listen. But I will do the introduction, and this morning our guest is someone I have known for many, many years. She truly embodies an Olympian in body, mind, and spirit. She'll be sharing her powerful story about what's called Olympian thinking and really how that can support each and every one of us, you know, step up to live a more extraordinary life. A little bit about her background, 20 years in athletics, 5 national titles, a world record, been part of the U.S. Olympic team several times. Everyone hear that, several. But on her journey, she discovered 3 essential elements that are really present for any ordinary person to do extraordinary things. And from that developed Olympian technology, which actually led to participation in a 5-year think tank, an international think tank on the role of business in the 21st century. And that, you know, really opened up the doors for conducting programs with some of the most leveraged people in the world, senior executives that have global responsibilities in some of our largest companies such as AT&T, Apple, IBM, IKEA, Microsoft, Wells Fargo, and many, many, many others. She actually participated and did a program for the Young Presidents Organization in Beijing, China during the Olympics. Is featured on Forbes.com video site. You can go find her YouTubes, and I'll give you that information a little bit. Has been in hundreds of international and national education conferences. What's very exciting is she's taken this work not just in the business world, but actually out there to work with youth, and created an inner city program for Oakland youth called Dare to Imagine. But her most pioneering work is a joint venture between the Russians and Americans in a venture called the Peace Team. You're going to hear about some of these things today. And that actually prompted 2 invitations to speak at the United Nations. So nothing is more finely measured than performance in sport, and why the world of business is so fascinated. And she has taken this technology into business education and really into creating a technology and a strategy for probably the most important, not probably, the most important thing in our world, which is creating a world of peace. It is my honor to share my friend, my mentor. I've been inspired by this wonderful person for so many years, and when I just think about her, I sit up straight, I breathe deeper, and I focus more, because my life has been so deeply touched in so many dimensions by having her close in my world, and she is making a huge contribution. So it is my honor and to share with you today a very special person in my life. Good morning, Marilyn King.
Good morning, Robin.
I love having you on. This is so wonderful.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be with you. When I think about you, 2 words come to mind. You know, I just see you as such a seeker out there, always seeking wisdom, but almost more importantly, you're a sharer. There isn't anything that you have ever found that you haven't turned around and tried to share with everybody you could get to listen.
Thank you. That's why I love doing these calls. It's truly my love and passion, because I have so many wonderful treasures, and truly, when I think of you, I am inspired, and you are the person that leads the focus and inspiration for me. You are a guiding light in my life, and This morning in our 30 minutes of wisdom, we have this time to share with this group, talk about sharing. You know, what is Olympian thinking? Your story is such an amazing story. I didn't want to blow the cover on the story because it is, I love hearing you. As many times as I've heard it, I never hear it enough. So would you share where it came from and how you developed it?
Yeah, and thanks, Robin. And I think one of the reasons why people are so inspired, you know, by what I bring to the table is because I actually am a very ordinary person. I'm not someone who was destined to be in the Olympics. And how Olympian thinking came into being is because we moved all the time when I was a kid. I got involved in sports because it was a good way to meet people because I was very shy, and sports gave me an instant kind of social group. And I was always placing second or third. And then they invited someone I had beaten one time to go to the Olympic training camp. And I had this one new thought. It's like, wow, not only did I beat her, but I'm a better athlete than she is. And if the Olympic committee thinks she's good enough to go to the Olympics and I'm better than she is, that means I could go to the Olympics. So in that moment, I had one new thought that changed my life. I woke up every morning after that thinking, oh, my gosh, I could be in the Olympics. And I didn't really believe it, but what I now know is that one new thought led to other new thoughts that led to new behaviors that took me, you know, over the course of three Olympic teams. So I wound up in Munich in 72, Montreal in 76, but the Olympian thinking framework really came into being because I was training for my last Olympic team, which was to be 1980. And by the way, for those who don't know, my event was the pentathlon. Hurdles, shot put, high jump, long jump, and 800 meters. So five track and field events. But as I was embarking on training for what I knew to be my last Olympic team, my car got hit from behind by a truck, and I wound up with a bulging disc in my low back that was misdiagnosed. And because it was misdiagnosed, I was fortunate enough to have the thought called, well, I've got a tweak, I'm getting better every day, and I'll be in the top three at the Olympic trials for 1980. And this thought persisted over the next couple of weeks, but my back wasn't getting better. And weeks led to months, but I still had the same thought. I'll be in the top three. I'm getting better every day. And while I couldn't physically train the 6 to 8 hours a day I had previously, I thought, well, I've got to do something while I'm getting better. So I got films of the world record holders in all five of my events, and I would watch them for 3 or 4 hours a day. And after weeks went by and I got sick of doing that, I would go stand on the track and I would spend 3 or 4 hours envisioning what my training should have been or my competition. So fast forward, I spent 7 months just envisioning my training and my competition. And then just prior to the Olympic trials for 1980, I had them give me an injection of Novocaine in my back so I wouldn't feel the pain. And I placed second at the Olympic trials for the 1980 Moscow Games without physical training. And, you know, that was just a real, you know, life changer for me. And I quit my coaching position at Berkeley and started to explore the field of exceptional human performance. And the short course in what I discovered, Robin, as you know, is that when I launched into it, I discovered the whole world of imagery, visualization, and mental rehearsal, and just discovered all kinds of things that were just incredible, that we don't have to teach it to people, you know, what and how we think impacts our health. It affects our performance, whether it's in sports or in business. It affects our future, and it also affects our collective future. So I went out and started teaching it because I thought people would go crazy with this new understanding. And when I realized that wasn't happening, I went back to the drawing board and realized very important but not sufficient, and put together the framework I call Olympian thinking that says there are really three things that are always present when ordinary people do extraordinary things. And
well,
the first
I hope
is,
everyone has a pen and paper out before.
Yeah, and actually,
I'm sorry to
with
cut
your piece
in,
of
but
paper,
I really would love you to, you know, really receive this because there's a powerful awareness that each one of us can have from this. So I'm sorry, Marilyn.
Yep. Well, take your pen or pencil and draw a heart. And that is the symbol for being passion-powered. And we'll talk more about that, you know, if you like. But recognizing that when people do something they weren't supposed to be able to do, it's because they are passion-powered. When you have something that matters to you more than anything, you have a high level of energy, you're a creative problem solver, you don't need willpower and discipline for something you're passionate about. And then the second part, if you just draw a little symbol of like an eyeball, you know, an eye, That's the whole vision domain, when there's an art and a science in that domain. But it's being crystal clear about the goal and understanding that the how-to images will begin to occur through what we call cognitive dissonance. We can talk more about that. And the third part is action. You've got to have a game plan and daily practices, and not just physical practices, but mental practices. So if you take a look at what you've just done there, it says passion-powered, vision-guided, and action-oriented. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is just to put your thumb over the little action figure. And notice that if you've got 2 out of 3, you've got passion, and you can see it really clearly, but you don't do anything, it's not going to get you there. And then if you shift your thumb over to the middle, off of covering the middle image, and recognize that some people have passion, and they're very busy, but how they think about it is what I call stinking thinking instead of Olympian thinking. Not going to get you where you want to go. And then one more time, shift your thumb over the passion part. If there's no energy in the system, it doesn't matter how, you know, clearly you envision and what your game plan is. You can be moderately successful, but you're not going to, you know, push the upper limits of your ability. And I invite anyone who would, you know, like to see this, you know, there's actually a free download on my website, which is Way Beyond Sports. And in the upper right-hand corner, you can download PDFs that are the graphic illustrations of what I just shared.
Great. So this is the formula. This is the technology. How does this apply to everyday people? How can we put this, you know, into action?
Well, you know, I'm absolutely thrilled, Robin, that last week you had Robin Lechter on talking
Sharon.
About outwitting the devil.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
Sharon,
I'm sorry, yes.
That's okay.
And in terms of, you know, application, I'm just like hopping up and down about the book, Outwitting the Devil, because the very first principle that she talks about is, you know, the having a purpose. And what happens in the world when you don't have a purpose. So for me, I think it's one of the things that we're in a generational shift. You know, my grandparents didn't have the privilege to ask, you know, what am I passionate about? You know, we are living in a world now where in the developed world, at least, we do have the ability to encourage our young people to explore, you know, if you could do anything, you know, what would you like to do? So it's the courage to go deep inside and ask yourself, you know, the deep purpose questions. And then, you know, it being really very, very important to come to understand how your mind works and to pay attention to what I call airtime. And if you spend most of your time thinking about the obstacles and challenges and the woe is me, then you don't have the opportunity to be in the Olympian thinking mode, which we might call just, you know, keep your eye on the prize. That when you actually envision something like, you know, I can be in the top 3 at the Olympic trials or I could be in the Olympics, your mind starts to say, wow, well, how could that be? And it starts to give you new thoughts that lead to new behaviors. And then, you know, it's about, you know, having the discipline of putting it into a game plan, getting the kind of coaching and support and environment, which is also talked about in Outwitting the Devil, just having that environment around you so that you've got a game plan and daily practices. And it starts right from when you wake up in the morning. When you first wake up in the morning, you know, most Olympians in training for London 2012 right now wake up and they envision their gold. You know, what is it that I'm up to and what am I doing today to bring that to fruition? So that's kind of the simple way of thinking about how anyone could step into this framework.
Well, that part you just related back to Sharon and Outwitting the Devil, that clarity of purpose and that the fears that show up. You know, when you had that accident, I don't think you had a lot of support out there in the world, and I don't think most of us would have said, you know, we can go, you know, train for the Olympics when we couldn't move our bodies. So what helped you at that time? Because there had to have been fear. What do you do when that shows up?
Yeah, great, great question, because for many of us, our minds go into autopilot first thing in the morning, and we're looking at all of the obstacles and challenges. And when we are in challenging times like now, it's often very difficult for people to figure out what to do with that voice in their head that is the voice of fear. And, you know, I really do. I just pay attention to this thing I call airtime. And quite frankly, when I was injured and envisioning that I would be in the top three at the Olympic trials, it was literally like a little person on my left shoulder would jump up and go, "You're an idiot. You know, are you out of your mind? There's younger, faster, talented athletes training, and you can't even hop from one foot to another." And what I had done that I now understand was I had done a worst-case scenario. And what I've found over the years is that when you have a fear, if you turn around and address it, just face-to-face, and ask yourself the question, what's the worst thing that could happen if I embark on this venture or if I decide this risk? What's the worst thing that could happen? And in my experience, most of the time, when you actually answer the question, what's the worst thing that could happen, the level of anxiety decreases because it's usually, well, you know, I won't die from this. You know, maybe this would happen or that would happen. And then when you figure out what to do, if that were to happen, you have come up with a solution for your worst-case scenario. And that allows you to do the following. When that little voice shows up and says, you're an idiot, blah, 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 almost literally person off my list. I've already dealt with you. I already know that if the worst-case scenario were to happen, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And that's not what I'm intending, and then I would literally look back and put my eye on the prize. I will be in the top three at the Olympic trials, and I'm getting better every day. And then you have some new thoughts and new ideas, and you focus your attention. You put your airtime into the strategies for achieving what you're really intending to accomplish.
So what I'm hearing is our training our mind, the muscle, like training an athlete.
Exactly.
And one of my favorite quotes comes from a great wise one named Buddha, says, enlightenment is catching ourselves off track quicker than the time before. So that little on-your-shoulder kind of guy gets transferred to the other shoulder that says, you know, I'm going to qualify in the top three, and I'm getting better every day.
Well, also, if you were to imagine, you know, Michael Phelps, once he said 8 gold medals out loud into the world, and many people in the world knew this, you could imagine waking up in the morning if you were him and thinking, I said what? And how many things could happen in the hundredths of a second that any of those other athletes could beat him? But he did not spend his airtime there. He kept envisioning 8 gold medals. So that's what you want to do. You want to give your airtime to envisioning your gold, whatever that is.
Wow.
And I want to make note, I did not say gold, G-O-A-L. Mm-hmm. We can set lots of goals. I'm talking about your gold, G-O-L-D, and that changes the whole story.
It changes the whole story. Well, this technology is so powerful, and one of the things that touches me so deeply, Marilyn, is that, you know, you have a bigger agenda. This isn't just, it's wonderful to have high performance in business and athletics and all kinds of things, but you've got a bigger vision for what's going on and how to take Olympian thinking out there in the world. Could you share about that, please?
Yeah, thank you, Robin. There are really, you know, kind of two parts to it. One, it became very clear that we've got kids in school for however long we can keep them, you know, whether it's they can stay for 12 years and some of them don't make it. But my point was, wow, if, you know, passion, vision, action really is, you know, the three keys that must be there, in school, what if all of our educators knew that one of our primary responsibilities is to help kids discover what they're really passionate about? Then we can teach them the thinking skills. You know, that's not rocket science. There is an art and a science to it, but we can do that. And then to support them in a game plan. So when I worked with inner city kids in Oakland trying to figure out could we really and how could we teach this to kids, I was just stunned by, and these were inner city kids who come from crack houses and, you know, one of them was homeless and all of that, and we just watched, you know, how they grabbed a hold of this and just inspired us, you know, beyond, you know, anything that we could have choreographed. So from that, it's now just this summer I've been able to, for the first time, have an opportunity to begin to train trainers in how do we teach this to kids. So that's what the Dare to Imagine program is about, and we're about to take the next step and looking at how can we move this very quickly. I've got Olympians here in Oakland, and our mission is to get the message to every kid in Oakland that you're already wired to win. You know, you already have things you're passionate about. You sometimes think this way and put it into action. And making sure that there are places that they can go to actually, you know, operationalize the message. that everybody can live Olympic. And then by London, the goal is to make this available to Olympians who are going home from the Olympic Games so they can take it back to their communities. So the first part is about how do we get this message to kids, help them use it personally, apply it to their community, and then hook them up with children from other parts of the world. Because my real mission with this, Robin, if you look back at the three symbols I asked people to write down, when I asked myself the question, what am I passionate about, and my grandmother, human potential and peace, came up, I saw the three icons, and put your finger over the middle one, I was stunned. I believe that relative to peace, where we are right now, is that most people want to live in peace on the passion part and would be willing to do something, but they're very poorly informed. And we know that when people are poorly informed, they don't know the history of something, they don't know what the skills are, the traits or the strategies or who to align themselves with, they can't possibly be effective. So relative to peace, my work is really to mobilize Olympians to use our bully pulpit to say, if you are someone who wants to live in a world that works, the most important thing you can do is to become well-informed. Because as soon as you're well-informed, you start to see all kinds of things you can do. You have new thoughts that lead to new behaviors that will contribute to the world that we all want to live in. So that's really, you know, where my work is in teaching Olympian thinking for the purpose of having people apply it to our, you know, collective goal, to living in a world that works for all. And we're about to get to celebrate the International Day of Peace, September 21st. And so I'm encouraging people to be in training for 2012, like Olympians, and to begin your day the Olympian way. And all that means is that you wake up every morning like Michael Phelps did, and like Olympians are all over the world, and envision your gold. And as you envision your gold for your own life, to also take a moment and envision our collective gold, to envision living in a world that works, to tell yourself that you intend to be part of the peace team, that you would intend to be part of the people who are becoming well-informed about peace and aligning your daily action to contribute to the world that we all want to live in. Mm. So that's really kind of the big picture of the three areas, business, education, and peace, and kind of an overview of the application of how Olympian thinking brings new information and the opportunity for, you know, really accelerated development in any one of those three areas.
Wow. You know, that is a beautiful invitation. It's a simple thing to do. So if you could say that again, and I know you have a tool, you have a support that people can use if they want to have a little extra support on starting their day. And if you would also talk a little bit more about the International Day of Peace, because sadly, a lot of people don't know about it, and we need to be the messengers and let people know as we can spread this information around and have people step up. So if you would, I'd love to hear about those two things.
Yeah, and you know, if there's a theme through this conversation, Robin, I would say, you know, it's that one new thought can change your whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be in the Olympics, I'll be in the top three at the Olympic trials, or we could see peace in my lifetime, where the three times I've had new thoughts that have led to new behaviors and created a whole different life. And there's research that says we have 57,000 thoughts a day. The problem is most of the ones we have today are the same ones we had yesterday. So in terms of precipitating a new thought, you know, what I suggest is that, and it's just very simple, I call it envision your gold, G-O-L-D, and to begin your day the Olympian way by envisioning your gold. And yes, thank you for mentioning it. You know, on my website down at the bottom, on the landing page, I thought, if I were to disappear from the planet, what's one thing I could leave behind that would encompass my work as best as possible? So I created a recording of Begin Your Day the Olympian Way, which is just a way that you can start your day by listening to this recording, going through a guided imagery relaxation process, and then being just kind of carried through on a story about envisioning your day the Olympian way and envisioning your gold. So I invite you to use that, but really just to wake up in the morning and notice, where does your mind go automatically on autopilot? Notice whether that's the Olympian way or whether you want to really kind of take command and take charge of your thoughts. And I think that's part of what Sharon talked about around mastery of self.
Yes.
So, I don't
love
know.
What you said. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my real point here is that, you know, we're stepping into when there's going to be a lot of hype and information out there about the Olympics, and there are people who we admire and we kind of mystify. But if there's one practice that every Olympian around the world is engaging in, and of course I haven't interviewed them, but I would bet you that in some form, every one of them are awakening every single day between now and the Olympic Games, and they have for years, and they've been doing the same thing, which is envisioning their gold. And once they envision themselves in their gold, then they notice, well, what am I doing today? And what's really interesting about this, it's not like I'm going to do one thing to help me get to the top step at the Olympic Games. I want to make sure everything I'm doing today, why would I do training and then eat greasy fried food? I want to make sure everything I'm doing today is aligned with my gold. Why would I do anything that would detract from that which I care about most? And that's really, I think, the power behind, you know, begin your day the Olympian way, that when you envision your gold, you do have new thoughts that lead to new behaviors and produce new results. But almost more than that, you start to eliminate anything that would detract from your goal and align yourself with those things that are contributing to where you want to be. So I'm inviting everyone, you know, envision your goal, and you too can live Olympic and be in training for 2012. You know,
every day for the next year.
Yep, between now and the Olympic Games, just do what the Olympians do. Set your clock 5 minutes early and envision your gold and what you're doing today to help make that dream come true. And I would invite you to envision our global gold, envision the world that you want to live in. So you're envisioning our gold as well as your gold.
I want to take a little expansion on that thought right there, because you said it a little earlier. You know, most people want peace, but the belief, when we look at the reality of what we hear and are exposed to in our world, we don't get a lot of buy-in that that's possible. But what it's going to take to make it possible is what you're talking about.
Well, also, Robin, there is a real distortion in the reality, because we do not hear in the media the extraordinary things that are going on the planet and the underlying mega and meta trends. When you become well-informed about peace, you find out about things that are happening in the world that raise your hopes up through the roof. I wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can't go back to sleep because of the things that I have learned about what people are doing who think globally and systemically about foundational issues important for peace and have been putting them in place. We're talking about stabilizing the population, ending hunger, ending poverty, eradicating disease. And I just know people's minds just went into, oh, well, yes, but. And that's exactly what outwitting the devil is all about. You know, they have just embedded fear in such a way that people cannot even see and don't even go and seek out the information that shows us, you know, what a solid foundation we're standing on and the kinds of things people all over the world are doing to help create the world that we want to live in. And it's up to us to now align our thinking. We want to be on the peace team. We want to be on the winning side. We want to be on the side of most people on the planet who want to live in a world that works, and to do our part. And in order to do that, you need to be well informed. So that's my invitation. On this Peace Day, begin to envision our gold every day and become well informed about the status of peace.
Wow. In our minute left, two things, any final comments, and also if you could give people a few resources to embed their mind with the life-enhancing, peace-oriented resources that you feed yourself with. I think it might be helpful for people to have. And any other final comments?
Yeah, I definitely invite people, you know, to go to my website, which is waybeyondsport.com. And from the peace perspective, one, I just fed myself 2 days ago by going to listen to Lynn Twist, who wrote The Soul of Money. And she's one of the people who travels extensively at the highest levels on the planet and brings back information, you know, about the global economic system and just all kinds of incredible things that are going on. But, you know, I invite people to go to pathwaystopeace.org. Google the International Day of Peace and find out things that are going on in, you know, over 120 countries around the world on that day. The team is assembling, and we are finding one another, communicating with each other, and sharing information. So I thank you for the question, and I invite you all to be part of the peace team by being clear about what the goal is and what's your part in creating the world that we all want to live in.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I adore you. I'm inspired by you. My life is different because of you.
Sweetheart, thank
really,
you.
Really touched. So at this time, we complete our recorded session with Marilyn, and if she's willing to agree to stay on, we can open up the lines for some Q&A. I will stop the recording, and we'll open up the line. So if you want to think about a comment, a question, a commitment you're going to make, and share that with our group, we are open to hear from you. So stand by for just one moment.
Great. Thank you, Robin.